Farmer up there, huh?
Yeah, it's like if Richie Farmer were coaching Kentucky today, how many games would we win? Everything is hypothetical with Richie Farmer. But if I told you we were going to be playing without Jalen Hurd, Matt Crowder, Josh Malone, Marquez North, Josh Smith, Jason Kroon, Justin Worley, A.J. Johnson, Dylan Bates, and Travaris Salisbury, and come out with a win, wouldn't you be pretty happy?
Absolutely. Look, a win's a win's a win. It's always been the case. So if you were going to tell me at the end of today's game that Tennessee was going to win today's game, absolutely. But it's still not. It still doesn't hide the fact that the team was flat today.
It felt like it.
Yeah.
It did. It felt like, and even as a fan watching, when we got the punt return, I was like relieved. I wasn't like as excited as I should have been.
Uh-huh,
I was expecting more. Just sitting there watching, I was expecting more. I think it was just because it was Vanderbilt and they've been so bad this year. But same time, you know, I'll take an ugly win over a pretty loss any day.
It's a sign that you're maturing as a program when you can play, what would you call today's game? Even with all the injuries and everything that was there, playing an opponent that was trying to set a record for futility with double-digit losses in the league. Really, they were. I mean, they were going for all-time futility. So I would give Tennessee's effort.
They were trying to.
Yeah, I would give their grade what? What would you say their grade is? What would you say Tennessee's grade is today?
On a scale of 1 to 10.
A C, maybe?
You got to give them a 6.
Yeah, 65. So
I mean, we won.
Yeah, CC plus. CC, CC plus. My point is, in the past, you lose that game. In my past,
right.
In the past, you lose that game.
In the past, I'm laying on my living room floor in a fetal position, thinking another year without a bowl. But not today. Today we got the W.
You got it, man.
Hey, guys, and how about this? How about midway through the fourth quarter when they bring a highlight of Derek Dooley against UNC in the bowl game? I thought we were snake bit right there when they brought that clown in.
What was that all about? What were they
thinking? I don't know, but I was screaming.
What was the tie-in? What was the, let's bring this
guy?
It was Nashville. Oh, I see. And then Tom Hart came back and said they could play in this building three straight times.
Yes.
Well, not in this building, but in this city, because we will play down there to begin next year with UAB.
UAB. So I think, we've lost three quarterbacks for the season in the last 2 years. Somebody was bringing up getting quarterbacks hurt. It's been Worley twice and Peterman, the crash test dummy, once.
Yeah, in this offense, unless you're Tim Tebow, Cam Newton, you're going to have a lot of trouble staying healthy. They put a lot on quarterbacks.
But it's going to be better when we get some more talent around them. You know, we get some guys that can get open downfield, stretch it.
Oh, sure.
So I think better days are ahead. We're bowl eligible, and I'm daggone happy about that. Plus, I just saw on TV Nick Saban dressing down Lane Kiffin on the sideline.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. That's fun.
I want to see him pull each other's hair out. If I could see that, I would be. I could die right now. But
well, thank you, Little Earl. I'll tell you this, and I'll speak from experience here, and I appreciate your phone call. Nick Saban has had some work done on his hair. He's got more now, so. By the way, and the way it's not I speak from experience is I have less. Rutgers, a 25-point comeback today over Maryland, late in the game, 41-38, they win. You could always be a Maryland fan today, losing a 25-point lead late in a football game. Back to the phones we go. Auburn settles for a field goal again. They're not going to win this game settling for field goals. They have kept it to one score, though. It's 14-6 now, 2 minutes, 50 seconds and change to go in the first quarter in the game. Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. If you want to get in tonight, again, 865-200-5402. Tennessee tonight is a victor, 24-17, first bowl trip since 2010. And let's go back to the phones. Here on your smart way, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Sean. How you guys?
Hey, who's this?
Hey, it's Josh.
Hey, Joshy.
Hey, Josh.
Man, I'm sick of hearing this process crap, all this stuff. I mean, this offense, it's never going to win in this conference. And I've never felt as bad as I do after a win as this game tonight. And it's really got me aggravated because I want to feel good about it, you know. But I don't know. It's just pathetic, you ask me, our performance on offense.
Well, it was tonight, it was barely passable. And they did enough to get a win when they had to do it. I mean, I give them credit. When they come back and tie the game at 10, Tennessee takes the ball down the field, a long touchdown drive, and drives the ball and scores. Now, in all fairness, and something Phil said earlier, and this is the absolute truth, tonight's game, if you look at it, Josh Dobbs is doing everything in our offense, and they're really asking him to do too much.
If he's not in there, the game's over.
No, there is no offense. Without him, there is no offense.
Yeah, to Vanderbilt. We're blew out at Vanderbilt. If Dobbs goes down, it's over.
I don't know about that. Vanderbilt doesn't have enough points to blow anybody out. You could take the ball.
Tell me Patton Robinette Patton Robinette played a good game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do nothing in our pass game at all. I've seen nothing over the middle, no kind of crossing routes, anything. And this Mahoney cat, I mean, where'd they get, him out of a sandwich shop somewhere to come coach offensive
line? It's not fair to him. He doesn't have any players. I mean, Josh, he doesn't have any players. Can't you see that? It's not fair to him.
Well, I mean, is next year going to be any different? How many years in a weight room do they need?
You know, there's an old saying. I'll tell you this. There's an old saying, you can't squeeze blood from a stone, and I think it applies to this year's offensive line. This year's offensive line, they are what they are, they were what they were, and they will be what they're going to be. What you have to hope, and Sean said it earlier, they better hope in the offseason the lights go on for Blair. Now, they're trying to paint the story through different media outlets from some of their different arms that the lights are on for Blair. Hey, I hope that's true. I hope that's true. It better be. It better be true.
Yeah, it better be, because if not, we're in for two or three more years of the same old six wins, seven wins, maybe five wins, because, you know, this a line of scrimmage league, and this Rich Rod wannabe stuff, it ain't going to fly, man.
Well, it does fly. It flies with Auburn to some extent when you've got a tremendous quarterback under center.
And you've got a great coach that has a feel for the game.
A feel.
And we have no feel for the game.
Yeah, feel's an interesting word. Now, I'll grant you that. I'm concerned at times about our feel on offense. But again, when you're that short stacked on your offensive line, how much can you really do?
I mean, we ran one jet sweep tonight that I've seen and gained 8 yards.
Never went back to it. Never went back. Nope.
Now, why?
Sean, why? Sean, tell me why.
I don't know. I'm the last guy to defend this offensive line, but I don't understand the blocking scheme, and I'm not here to call it a gap scheme or whatever, but they'll put a tight end. I saw Alex Ellis, Helm, whatever. And the guy, he doesn't even touch anybody. Or when he comes in motion, it's like patty cake. You know, the way they design their offensive blocking schemes may work in Conference USA or the MAC or something like that, but even Vanderbilt has SEC athletes, and you have to be able to account for them. And our offensive line got whipped by three guys consistently. That doesn't make sense at Tennessee.
Yeah, but Sean, they're not, again, they're not any good.
Well, I don't care. 5-on-3,
Sean,
you should win that battle,
Sean,
all day long.
Sean, they're not any good.
No, Vanderbilt's not any good.
But guys, they don't belong here. I mean, come on, let's get real.
The next time someone gets a hand on that little outside linebacker defense, 45 or whatever his number will be the first time. and he wasn't disguising anything, no one was even accounting for him.
I don't know. When I seen him over digging on the sideline with the shovel.
You like that, Josh?
That's big time.
I never said this, but at that moment I said, would Bill Fulmer have ever done that? I mean, we're so far from what we were, it is unbelievable. And everybody wants to hope we got brighter days, but they're going to have to show me a lot more than they have. I don't know. Anyway, take care, guys.
Josh, they're bowl eligible. What do people expect? What do people expect? Cinco, give me a final thought here on the way out. I don't know what people expect. I don't, and look, I'm not telling you how to think. Think whatever you want to think. Feel however you want to feel. The offensive line isn't any good. They're not any good. They haven't been any good. We got a little bit of false hope. One of our callers rattled off all the players that are injured, and it's a point well taken. I mean, you're missing your two fastest wide receivers. Now, what happened with Wolf? I don't know, Sean, but he's in the witness protection program now. He was an option.
He's with Kendrick.
He's over there with Kendrick in the what is it? What would you call those guys? Coach doesn't like them. I don't know. This guy is so strange. But he coached his team to a 6-6 deal. He's over there shoveling. He said after the game,
Love the shovel.
And he said after the game that a lot of the experts said they would win between 2 and 4 games this year, which I would like to know what he's citing. But it's fun. We're 6-6. And as the seventh maxim says, this gives Butch something to sell in recruiting. This keeps the big train a-moving.
Well, final thoughts. Never apologize for an SEC road win. I don't care who it is against. We're going to a bowl game that hasn't happened in a long time. This team desperately needs more practice time. This team desperately needed to go to a bowl game. Injuries, suspensions did us no favors, and the team did what it had to do, regardless of the stats, regardless of the score, to get to a bowl game. I celebrate that. I congratulate them. I can't wait to watch them in a bowl game, and let's focus on that stuff. Let's focus on that stuff because, you know, we weren't in this position last year. But, Tony, I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, Sean.
Hope you have a great rest of the show. Go Vols.
Love you, man. Great, great stuff. Positive stuff there from Cinco. 865-200-5402 is our number. Tonight, again, 865-200-5402. If you're on your way back tonight, we'd like to hear from you. Coming out of Nashville, we want to be your eyes and ears. We hope to catch up with a couple more of our would-be contributors. I'm hoping to grab Swaney at some point tonight, if he's available. Perhaps Reed Carringer, perhaps my guys at InsideTennessee.com. As it is, Tennessee today with a victory, 24-17. And let me just hit the reset button here real quick, like, and then we'll get Bino up and continue our conversation this evening from the Raymier studio here in beautiful Knoxville.
It's time for another hour of power on today's game. It's the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction, where you are the star of the postgame. Presented without commercial interruption. The lines are open now. 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. And now, it's time to get to your host, Tony Basilio.
Back to you we come. Tony Basilio and you. On your Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction, Auburn is exploiting, as we speak, Alabama's pass defense or lack thereof. If I'm an Alabama fan right now, I'm a little bit concerned at the way my defense is getting carved up. And I mean carved up. And if Auburn will keep from turning the damn ball over, they'll stay in this game. How funny would it be, Bino, as I bring you in here, before I get your first thoughts on the Tennessee game today, how funny would it be to see Alabama lose this game tonight and literally see the league eliminated from playoff contention?
Well, Tony, after years of being a regional apologist when I thought we didn't get our due, the SEC gets far more than its due now, and it wouldn't hurt my feelings one iota if we didn't have a single team in it. If it's not us, I don't care if anyone else represents it.
Beano, your first thoughts here, and then we'll go back to our phones.
Well, Tony, it certainly wasn't the enjoyable or celebratory or definitive win I would have liked to see. I enjoyed about none of it, but fortunately the Vols didn't need style points to get bowl eligible. All they needed was a win, and they did accomplish that.
Did you just say you enjoyed, like, none of it?
I absolutely died a thousand deaths watching every minute of it. I enjoyed none of it.
When I went,
I'm happy with the win. I enjoyed none of it.
You know how my house is laid out, so I go downstairs, and my son's got a ton of friends in the basement, and I'm going, and they're yelling and screaming, but they're not. It's not coinciding with what's going on in our game, because they came in to watch our game. And they're down there watching the Florida State game. And I said, what are you guys doing? And one of them looked at me and said, Mr. Basilio, this game, that Tennessee Vanderbilt game is awful. We're watching a college football game. And I was like, what do you say to that? It's pretty.
I felt relief when we took a 14-point lead in the third quarter. I enjoyed Cam's punt return for a touchdown. But so much was riding on the game for us against a team that's just not very good. And we had so little room for error that it just wasn't a very enjoyable watch. I expect to enjoy the ball game much more than I enjoyed getting there.
865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us tonight. Huge win. Here's the thing about it. We can't lose sight of this, Beano. In the last 5 years, we would have won that game playing the way that we did literally less than a handful of times on the road.
There is no question about that, Tony. And it's a win is a win. It's a step forward, especially if we can find a win in a bowl game to avoid that fifth straight losing season that we need to avoid at all costs. But beats the heck out of the last 3 years.
Amen to that. Back to the phones we go. Auburn on the move. And boy, the over-officious crew, they are. It is literally flag day tonight down at Alabama. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Next call. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smart Way, Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, Tone. Hey, Beano.
Hey.
This is Chad.
Hey, Chad. Welcome.
Well, after watching that game, I feel like I've needed to be punished for some reason or another. That was brutal.
So you're listening to this tonight.
You already were.
Yeah, you're listening to this tonight.
Instead of saying let the best team win, that should be said let the team that sucks less win, because those were two bad football teams playing tonight, and I hate to say it, but that was bad football.
Yeah, I couldn't. Ordinarily, I would get mad at my kid for that, but I looked over at him and said, you know, if I was your age and I wasn't doing a post game show, I would probably be watching the Florida State game.
Tony, you remember the longtime caller Harvey to the show?
Yes, I do. Yeah, Harvey Isbell.
He used to tell a story about his high school team playing in the finals of the state in a game that was something like 14-12, some nonsense score. And he said the headlines the next day were, "It's a game. It's a shame either team had to win." And that's kind of what tonight looked like at times.
Well, guys, I've been really critical of Butch Jones, and I'm waiting for him to prove me wrong and show me I shouldn't be critical, but he definitely didn't put that team in a good position tonight, and Bajakian's play calling was brutal. There was a series where, I think it was in the third quarter, where I think he threw it three straight times, and we had just had no success throwing it. I have no idea why you don't run it at least once. That was just, I don't know, that was hard for me to watch, and I want to feel better about the future. I really do, but gosh, I don't know. I don't know if we're really going to be that much better next year.
You know what it is, Chad? It's adjusting to this new brand of football. There will be no fullbacks used. Nobody does it. It just drives you crazy. And my Eagles and my Vols do the same thing now. My Eagles in the NFC and the NFL, they just will not line up under center and take advantage of a short yardage situation. So in that sense, you're almost better off. First and goal in that offense is really not a good place to be if you think about it.
No, it's not. It's not. But that's, you know, heaven forbid you get a fullback. I don't know how many times I've said that, Colin, even on your show. I mean,
but they're just not going to do that. It's just not in the cards. It's just not. It's not a part of their approach, and I don't understand it. Chip Kelly's the same way. It drives me crazy, but it's okay. It's okay.
You know, Chad, it's kind of strange because I feel the same way you do, and I look at this offense and I think, man, this offense is kind of a short yardage disaster. And then you look at the national numbers, and Tennessee's like ninth in America in red zone efficiency as far as scoring touchdowns, which I would have never thought. But I'm like you, I watch it, and I just never trust it in short yardage situations.
Well, Bino, I can assure you that's accidental. Because that by no means is that due to our personnel or the play calling. That team is not good in short yardage. If they had to line it up for a third and one or a fourth and one, I would not feel good at all about that situation if the game was on the line.
But you know, Chad, really, looking back, the demise of the former era was all about that too.
Absolutely.
This is not a new thing. This has gone on through four different coaching staffs. Now, I guess the only one that really was very efficient that I felt comfortable with in short yardage was Kiffin's 1 year here.
You must have, if you're going to compete at a high level, the ability to convert. And the difference between winning and losing a lot of these games is you have to score consistently in that red zone. And if you watch that Auburn-Alabama game tonight, that is three times now Auburn has gotten inside the red zone and had to settle for field goals. Now, it's a 14-9 game, and they're in striking distance. You're not going to beat Alabama kicking field goals. That's not going to happen.
Well, guys, I hate to be so negative, but that Vandy team's literally one of the worst Vandy teams I've seen in my lifetime. And
yes.
I just was floored by the fact that they were in the ballgame. I was floored by it, and I just as soon as I get excited about this football team, something happens to take that away from me, and I just want to feel good about the future, and I'm just having a hard time, even though we won.
Can't you say, though, and I'm not into coaching people on how to, you feel however you want to feel. It's a big boy program. We talk about things here. But can't you just say that the recruiting has been so great from a some zero point thus far that now that they've got their foot in the rung, now that they're going to have something to sell on the trail, a 6-6 finish, maybe 7-6. Let's just project out. Belk Bowl, they play a Notre Dame, beat them. Music City Bowl, play a Penn State, beat them. Maybe even a little higher than that, although I don't want to get much higher than that. Josh earlier tonight on Twitter said that with Arkansas losing yesterday and South Carolina losing today, maybe Tennessee can get a little higher up the rung in terms of the bowl they could ascertain to, because our fan base is going to, or aspire to, I should say, our fan base is going to show up in droves for whatever bowl game we go to. We're going to be very hungry to travel. And so that'll make us attractive. Josh, you win that bowl game, you walk out 7-6, go on that recruiting trail, knock out a few offensive linemen between now and then. Come back with a patchwork group, a repatch group. Josh Dobbs, another year older and stronger. You get all those skill people back. You get those two tremendous defensive linemen you're going to add with Shy Tuttle and McKenzie Sun. Barnett's another year older. Reeves Maben tonight, who's on Twitter talking about how they won the state championship and going to a bowl game, and real leader on that team. You saw young Kelly Jr. making plays. Excellent return game of the future with Cam Sutton, who will be in a money year next year for him. I mean, man, there's a lot of reasons to feel good. That's a lot of talent. This team's going to be pretty talented next year.
That's fair tone, but would you not say that even with bringing in the talent, this coaching staff has to get better, in my opinion? I've just not been impressed with their on-the-field game management or their game plans for different teams. I don't think they've done enough to help this young football team be competitive. But anyway, I appreciate you having this show. I do love the fact that you're available after a game like this to vent. And, you know, it was a W, but, man, it was an ugly one. But I'll talk to you guys later this week.
Thank you, Chad. Bino, I don't know. I want to say not able to enjoy this, and we need to just slow our roll and be more positive. And then I also understand why people are so frustrated and urinated off, even though we're 6-6. Because that was ugly tonight.
I believe tonight that people had pretty much chalked up the fact that we were going to beat Vanderbilt and be bowl eligible. Maybe we got ahead of ourselves there, too. But I think what most people wanted out of tonight's game is to look at something, say, that the end of the season, if you put together South Carolina, Kentucky, and Missouri, and tonight's game.
Yeah.
And out of the sum of those, that you could look and you could say, hey, we're measurably better than we were last season. I think tonight's performance robbed people of that. And that's what they were hoping for tonight. You get the bowl eligibility, but they don't get the feel good for the future.
Alabama turns the ball over on their own 35-yard line. This thing's getting interesting. All of a sudden, they're sucking air. What was, I believe, a 14-0 lead is now 14-9, and Auburn's knocking on the door. The chance maybe even to take the lead here. U.S. Foods, attention Class A CDL drivers. If you'd like to be home every night, you have a job and you're driving, you're on the road all the time and away from the family, that's tough. Touchdown Auburn, that's tough. I was talking to my friends over at U.S. Foods earlier this week, and they've hired a couple people now out of this audience looking for some more. They're seeking Class A CDL drivers for delivery positions right here in the Knoxville area. U.S. Foods is a leader in the food service industry. Minimum 1 year commercial driving experience is required. 6 months food service or food and beverage delivery experience is also required for U.S. Foods, and U.S. Foods offers a competitive compensation and benefits package, including medical, dental, vision, pension, and 401k plans. Apply online at usfoods.com. U.S. Foods is an equal opportunity employer. Russell W. Smith, who's usually in studio with us tonight at 94.3 Radio, is a little under the weather. And so, Russell, I wish you well. Perhaps we'll check in with him a little later on, but he's been dragging a really bad cold around, and so that's rough, Russell. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. As we get ready to go back to our phones, let's grab our next call. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smart Way Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, Tony and Bino, it's Carter.
Hey, Carter.
Hey, Carter, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. I guess I'm about like Russell. I'm dragging a dang cold around for the second time in 3 weeks myself.
That's a bummer.
Get well. Get to feeling better soon here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. This tonight didn't help a whole lot, I'll just be honest with you.
Nothing medicinal about that.
Guys, I mean, my son is about as negative when it comes to Coach Lyle Jones as there is. And I try to stay positive about this, but I'll be honest with you, watching it is tough. I mean, God almighty, guys, this offense that we run, I don't know. I mean, I sit here and say, well, it's kind of like Auburn runs, but it's nothing like Auburn runs, is it? I mean, did we throw more passes sideways than we did down the field tonight?
We certainly did, Carter, and that is extremely hard to watch. Right now, I just don't believe that they have any faith whatsoever, and it's justified. They don't have any faith whatsoever that we can allow anything to develop downfield. We won't give Dobbs enough time for that to happen.
It's tough. And then, we talked about the inside the 5-yard line. I mean, and thankfully, we got bailed out by a pass interception or a pass interference call. Or I'm not sure we would have scored one time when we got the ball inside the 5-yard line. It's just brutal. It's brutal. I mean, I sit here and I look at, I think about what the heck, what are we teaching these guys when they're punting the ball? I mean, we're at the 40-yard line and we punt it through the freaking end zone. I mean,
That wasn't what he was trying to do. I mean, it's college football. You know, the beauty of college football is that there's imperfections to the game, and the game will drive you nuts, Carter. It's true. See, we have a tendency to look at our own team with a critical eye. I guarantee you Alabama fans right now are paying this guy $8 million a year going, how in the hell are they going through our defense like Swiss cheese? We just gave him a 14-point lead.
I appreciate it's a high-quality team that's going through their defense like Swiss cheese.
I understand that.
When you're punting the ball with two minutes left from your 40-yard line, you take a I don't even remember. Do we take the 5-yard penalty to back it up 45 and then kick it literally through the end zone? We don't even attempt to go to a corner or just rugby kick it to anything. I mean, I don't know. It's really hard to understand some of the game, like y'all talk about, the in-game management that goes on.
Yeah.
Carter, I tell you, his short game wasn't very good tonight. And there's a lot to pick apart in this performance, but I don't believe special teams would be one area that I would do it on. Matter of fact, I thought they won the game for us.
Agreed.
Well, obviously the punt return did. There's no question about that. And his 60-yard punt that, like I said, if he can kick it long and it kick out of bounds, we're good. But they're terrible when we punt from 40 to 45 yards. It's just rarely does that ball even come close to. I've watched more balls sail into the end zone this year, and I'm like, do we just not even understand the concept of kicking toward the corner from a short distance?
I think the thought with Matt Darr is, if you're at the 40, just kick your usual 36, and maybe it'll hit at the 4. I don't know.
It's a bad attempt at
humor. Here's the thing. We're not real good, Carter, and that's why the game was ugly tonight. And that's why the game was ugly.
We're not, but I'll tell you this. We're very fortunate that James Franklin bolted out of there and Robertson and Barnett were wearing orange tonight instead of black.
Well, that's the truth now. Now that...
You switch those two on that field, how's that game end up?
That's over. That game's not ending up. That would not happen.
So, all right, guys. I know you got a bunch of calls.
Thank you, man. Barnett's a special talent. I believe he's Tennessee-bound anyway, but... there's no doubt that Robertson's a guy that they've plugged in. I mean, he's not exactly a world beater at this stage, but he's pretty darn good. To be a true freshman, to walk in there 2 weeks off the street, 2 weeks cold, having not done that, and to do that at this level and not be an eyesore is, wow, that's doing work, as the old saying goes.
It's extremely hard for me to defend our offense or our offensive staff, but we're pretty good on special teams. In every phase, once Evan Berry was put back there to return kicks, we're pretty good in every phase.
Back to the phones we go. And offensively, Bino, you can't get blood from a stone. You just can't.
I question that this offense or this offensive staff is SEC caliber, but I'm hesitant to make definitive evaluations until we have some SEC caliber upperclassmen linemen. And unfortunately, the earliest that can happen is 2016. It's not going to happen next year.
I'm pausing thinking about that. 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us tonight on your Smart Way, Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction. We got thousands of folks listening from all around the country tonight. Nick Marshall connecting with Sammy Coates. 34-yard touchdown. Auburn up on Alabama, 16-14. Iron Bowl. These two teams are now trading shots. Alabama now with a second down and three inside Auburn territory. And Auburn, to me, being early on in this game, it is early. Looks like a better football team, which I thought they were all year, by the way.
Well, I haven't thought they were all year, Tony.
I do.
The Ole Miss game kind of, or I'm trying to think what got after the Ole Miss game.
Yeah, that's right. They lost their steam for whatever reason. Yep. But I think in a one game situation, Gus Malzahn does really well against this guy for some reason.
He certainly did last year.
Boy, you know those fans down there, if they lose this game tonight and miss that playoff, how hot will those fans be? And there goes that quarterback. This is going to be beautiful.
I know Saban's a different animal, but you've talked for years about when things seem to, when you seem to start to get less returns. He's in his eighth season.
Yeah, he's there.
And the seven-year mark seems to be about the time when that happens.
Now, some guys will get it back and have ebbs and flows, but look at Bob Stoops. Bob Stoops talked about this year they were going to win the national championship. If I'm not mistaken, they've lost three, if not four, football games.
Yeah.
So let's go
it
back.
It seems to be. I don't know if it's the red-hot spotlight or these guys just burn out at one place or their message gets stale or what it is, but 7 years seems to be it's been rare in this league when anyone did better after their seventh year.
By the way, Matt Dar today, according to Technoval, averaged 48.4 yards per punt today, MVP of the day in his opinion. You're right, Technoval. At the two that he had that he pinned inside the 5 yard line were incredible punts. Incredible punts. No question about it. No question about it. Back to the phones we go. Then I'll read some Twitter activity if you want to tweet me and get in the mix and in the hunt. Some people are real upset. It's funny how different people see things. Some people are saying your callers, a lot of them, the negative people, are exactly right. And a lot of people are saying, what are they looking at? So it all depends on your perspective. I choose to admire the fact that this team's had so many injuries, plays in the toughest league in America, and it's not even close, has played one of the toughest schedules in America, and that's not even close, and they're still 6-6 at the end of the year and really didn't play all that well today and still won the game. That shows progress to me. Maybe I'm being a cop-out, but that shows progress, because I'm telling you, in the last 5 years, they would have won less than a handful of games. Less than five times could they have had that effort today and walked out with a win against anybody, let alone a road game in this league. To the phones we go. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smart Way, Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, Tony, Bino.
Hey, Donnie.
Hey, say, Don. Hey, man. Just want to make a few points. I'm glad you pointed that out just then, Tony. Your last caller talking about always getting through the end zone. I'm thinking, no, the punt before that went out at the 2 yard line.
Yep.
And another one went, was down around the 8 or 9 yard line.
Yep. He had a great day.
Yeah. I just think his leg tonight was so strong. I saw Butch telling him, I'm pretty sure, he was trying to hang it up there. He just was kicking the snot out of it tonight.
And there was a wind, and there was a wind also in that stadium as well.
Oh, yeah. 2 years in a row, our MVP almost seems like it's been our kicker. Kickers. We got our field goal kicker. The punt, Dar's been our whoever's working with the kickers based on what with Pilardi and those two guys tells me they're doing their job anyhow. Tony, I know you've brought it up. It's been driving me crazy. Maybe you can get X or somebody to get the lowdown. our last two games, it looks like our offensive line has backed up prior. Now, maybe you could say last week it was because of Missouri's defensive line. I don't think you could say that tonight. You know what the real difference is for the last two games versus the Kentucky and South Carolina game? Who started at left tackle those two games?
There's no question. And we have a head coach who doesn't like the guy. So it just is what it is, man.
Is it the head coach or the line coach?
No, it is the head coach. The line coach has attempted to put him in practice, and the head coach says, get him out of there. He's not playing. That's happened twice, at least.
I mean, I can't imagine this kid with all of his everything I've known about him before he arrived at UT. I can't imagine anything he could have done or said to get in that doghouse. But you say that going all the way back to the Oklahoma game and then going forward, we play better when he's in the game. And I don't know what head coach or whether you like
it's
him.
It's the head coach, yeah.
If you want to win the football game, you better play somebody that's good.
I'll say this. In the early stages of Butch Jones' tenure, one of my problems, maybe you have to be in his position, is how stubborn he is. I don't believe there was any question that Dobbs was the only quarterback that fit this system that he wanted to run. I don't believe there's any question that Evan Berry should have been our return man from day one, and I don't believe there's any question that Kendrick needs to be at tackle. And all those things are just hard-headed, no reason behind them decisions.
Well, I mean, poor old Kurbison, he's playing out of position.
Yes, he is.
And if he was playing in position, which he was for a couple of games, and you had the right left tackle, that's when you didn't give up sacks. That's when your running game was going. And, I mean, I was watching Kurbison tonight, and he's just waving at those guys as they run by. I mean, not laying a glove on them when they would cut inside. I mean, you know, I mean, maybe he's trying to get the quarterback killed because they don't like him. I don't know what he's doing. But the other thing I wanted to point out and see what you guys take on was, tonight and last week, I think you watching Dobbs throw the ball, you know now why Worley was starting.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt that Josh Dobbs is an inconsistent passer. He is far from finished product passing the football. But, and this is a huge but, with that line, with that team and that line as limited as they are, as limited as they are, Don, Josh Dobbs, you had to have played him. That's because now you were talking. That's exactly
and
right.
It probably cost us a game or two. And the thing about it, like, as bad as I hated him not trying to do more late, after all those picks and near picks, I kind of understand why they didn't want him to throw that ball.
Totally agree with that.
They were managing the game there, Don, without question. They were managing the game.
I totally agree with that. I know that Cinco didn't like it. I'm with you guys in terms of keep that team in front of you. It's Vandy. Don't give them life. Don't let them get back into this thing. Totally agree.
Would you have ever believed that we would have our two defensive ends would have had more sacks this season than our whole team did last year? Because they did. 10 apiece. 20 sacks. We had 19 last year.
Wow.
Majid is reborn. Man, I just hope you don't think, well, I'm pretty healthy, had a great year, I'm going pro. Really like to see him come back next year. What do you guys think he will?
I don't know. That's a great question. I'm to dig on him and what his prospects would be. On my daily show, I've got a couple NFL draft guys that I like to grab from time to time. Mike Dettillier is a guy that maybe I'll place a call to here in a little bit and try to find out what the NFL thinks about Majid. I would say that his injury problems in the past would probably scare some people off, but you'd have to think a guy that athletic that can get to the quarterback would have to be somebody that is somebody that could get into somebody's camp. Now, could he make a payday in the draft right now? Probably not. No, I wouldn't think so.
Well, Don, I hope we're not in the same position with him as we were with Tiny. I think Majette needs another year.
Yeah, he does.
I'm hoping he comes back. I just hope it's not like Tiny.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, I agree. You know, we over the years when we barely missed the bowl games, like the deal at Kentucky a couple of years back, and different things like that over selfish players. I was really thinking that tonight, the way they were running straight up the middle, I'm thinking how selfish our middle linebacker was. Because with him in there, I don't think there's a chance they would have been gashing us like that with the run game. And I don't even think it would have been the same last week. I don't know if we'd have won, but it would have been a different game. And for a guy to be a senior, 5 years in the program, on the cusp of everything and a big paycheck, but whether or not he's guilty, and I hope he's not, of what he's been accused of, bottom line is he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and a leader don't do that and put himself in front of his team.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Back to
guys, have a great one, and let's hope Donnie Boy goes out there tomorrow and walks the dog, and I tell you what, if I had any pull, which I don't, I'll fight for Donnie Boy.
I love Donnie Boy. Thank you, Don. Well, and by the way, we'll be live on the app tomorrow. As soon as Tennessee and Marquette goes final, it's a 4 o'clock tip. We'll be live with you on the app right here at TonyBasilio.com to our after basketball games. And I had some people asking me if I was going to have a Lady Vol emergency fifth quarter the other night after they got beat by UTC for the second straight year down there.
Wow.
A great line on Twitter somebody had. Somebody said that Lady Vols had, I think it was 9 McDonald's All-Americans, and UTC had 13 young ladies who have eaten at McDonald's. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, in the business of providing exceptional service, unbeatable prices, and they are one of only a handful of Prince Hydraulic master distributors in the nation. Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics this year on a record pace, selling over, are you ready for this? Close to 400,000 AC and DC hydraulic cylinders and hydraulic power units. And the thing about the cylinders and the units is, they, if you're looking for a cylinder, whether you're looking for something that you need custom made or something off the shelf that they need to get out to you, they've got them for you. And they also have power units as well that they build on site. Anything that turns or makes mobile components work, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics has, from hoses to hose assemblies, fittings, couplings, thousands of bearings. They do it and do it up at Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. And well, I'll tell you what, the Civil War tonight is a really, really good game between Oregon and Oregon State. 29-0 with 9 minutes to go in the second quarter. And they're, with the way they play football, Bino, they're what we want to be here at Tennessee. They're what Butch Jones wants to be.
Yep.
It's interesting, though, that Oregon, every time they get on that national stage with that offense, I'll be curious to see how they perform in the playoffs, Bino.
Yeah, me as well, Tony. We just haven't seen anyone, I don't believe, win a national championship with that style. We've seen them get close, but I don't think we've seen anyone win it.
Do you hold Ohio State accountable for not having a healthy quarterback when it comes to selecting for a playoff?
Really going to be interesting, Tony. I think they're in a tougher spot than they would have been with the old way of selecting teams. I think the old way that took the human element out of it, it doesn't matter. Now I think it does. I mean, I believe it'll be like the NCAA basketball tournament committee, and they certainly take that into consideration.
That would be really, if it falls that they're the fourth team, if TCU loses next week, okay? No, wait a second. TCU's already in, aren't they? They were in anyway. Who were the four last week?
No, TCU wasn't in.
They weren't in. Okay.
Mississippi State, Alabama,
okay.
Oregon, and Florida State.
So TCU's in the seat now. Okay. What happens if one of those teams stumble in the top five? surely you're not going to jump Baylor up. I'll tell you who really screwed up today was Georgia by losing. That looked like a kind of a meaningless game, just sort of sitting there. Georgia could have had an argument with a couple of losses in the Southeastern Conference, but now you don't. Now you don't have an argument if they would have finished strong. But even they have an injured running back. I guess if they were full strength, they would have an argument. This thing is going to get interesting, but for different reasons now. It's kind of a jumbled mess. Back to the phones we go. Go ahead, Bino.
I know they struggled today, Tony, but people are going to have, and maybe TCU's better than them, but Baylor beat TCU. And a win over Minnesota or whatever they've got that's putting TCU in front of Baylor, I can't believe that's more important than head-to-head.
Not a Baylor guy?
No, I am a Baylor guy. They should be in front of TCU. They beat TCU straight up. And you can't just ignore that.
From the Twittersphere, we go. Let me go down here a few minutes on the Twitter. Some of the interactions from folks, and then we'll go back to our busy phones today. Okay, let's see here. Missed the beginning. What are you all talking about since the OK game? Player. Don't know what that's about. Kareen says, it's not a cop-out, Tony. This team's shown grit and resiliency this year. A win's a win. I'm proud of this team, especially the seniors. Connie, it's not a cop-out at all. I think that's exactly right. I'm really proud of this team. I don't know what people are listening to. Pensacola Vol fan says, the offense can be ranked in the hundreds for the second straight year. That's unacceptable. That is true. It is unacceptable. But is it fair to blame anybody for that? Would be how I would respond to that. John Sweet says, I like the effort, Tony, but let's be happy with what we got. We're getting better and we're heading to a bowl. I agree with you. Eric says, 40-plus sacks given up. How many weeks of practice and live games do the offense need before they're going to get it? Former could coach offensive lineman. Yeah, former could coach offensive lineman. Former never had a short stack like this, Bino, on the offensive line.
Coach Former was wise enough to recruit at least one offensive lineman in every recruiting class.
Yeah, and so you're still reeking the or reaping what Derek Dooley sowed here.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that this staff came in without enough offensive linemen. Now, what I will ask, Tony, what I will put on them is I haven't seen any improvement whatsoever in our offensive line. It doesn't matter how bad your offensive linemen are. At some point, they should get a little better, and we haven't seen that.
Andy Stringfield said, just tuned in, if I hadn't watched the game, I wouldn't know if we won or lost. Well, I mean, Andy, to be honest with you, that's kind of what that game felt like, didn't it? Somebody tell me. Isn't that what that, that's kind of what that game was, a win that kind of felt tasted great, but it was sort of less filling. Vault of the Bone, B. Young says, last year we go 5-7, and sky's the limit. This year we go 6-6, we're going bowling, and the sky's falling? Hashtag somewhere in the middle. Yeah, I'm with you. Oh, boy, pick that ball off and take it back! Speaking of the Auburn Alabama game tonight, let's see. Jamie's got a bunch of tweets in there. I'll skip over those. You like that, Bino, how I'm skipping over? Let's see here. TC, did the Vols win tonight? Based on the callers, I would think Tennessee lost the game and missed out on a bowl game again. Here's one. Ben Senecal says, this is from 20 minutes ago, I know UT is just happy to make a bowl game again, but Butch talks about being prepared. They weren't even close to being prepared, he says. Isn't it funny, Bino, how different people see it different ways?
Yeah, and again, Tony, it depends on what you were looking for tonight, I think. If you were looking for a win, let's get bowl eligible. That'll be one more win than we had last year, with a potential for two more wins than we had last year. Then you're very happy with it. If you were looking at it in terms of, are we a whole lot better performance wise this year than we were last year? If you're looking for that, then I think you were somewhat disappointed because you didn't get that out of tonight's performance.
Alabama steroid-addled freaks push across a touchdown. T.J. Yeldon from 1 yard out. They retake the lead. Pending an extra point, they're winning 20-16 against Auburn, 1:23 to play in the half. Thomas Hagen writes, it's great to be a Tennessee Vol. Vols learning to win again. And Thomas, beautiful young lady in your avatar there, brah. If I may say so myself. Back to the phones we go. There's some more tweets by Jamie. Skip over those. Let's see here, anything else. What'd you think of Butch Jones digging over there on the sidelines, Bino? I kind of like that.
You know, Tony, I've told you before. Toward the end of the former era, I got too caught up in things that he said and things that he did. That's not my thing, but I don't care. Win football games and build this program, and I don't care what you do over there. But I'll say this. If you're going to do that type of thing, you have to win big. If you're going to use cliches, you better win big, because that gets old real fast with the fan base when you're struggling.
Notorious NIC says, this offense is metrosexual. It's the guy that has a purse and skinny jeans at the airport. Fullbacks are a wallet. Back to the phones we go. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402.
Well, you're right, Tony. The Civil War looks like the latter stages of the real one.
That's good stuff. Back to the phones. They should have played that game in Atlanta, Bino. Let's go to the phones and grab our next caller. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, hey, who's this?
This is Josh from Asheville.
Hey, Josh from Asheville, welcome. And I love Asheville. The Orange Peel is a great place to see a show.
It is great. I don't know how I'm going to follow up those last two comments with the Sherman reference to the Civil War and all that. I just don't know how I can follow that up.
I'm sure you'll find a way.
Hey, I just want to say, I am one of the Vol fans tonight that is very positive about what happened. When you're in a rebuilding situation like Coach Jones is in, every decision he's made for 2 years, every coaching decision is on a knife edge. And maybe there are 5 to 6 decisions a game that he has to make to win ball games, and he has to make all 5 or 6 perfect. With the roster that we're playing with, you know, you don't have a margin for error that maybe a Saban or even a Malzahn does at these schools that have the rosters to compete. So I, for one, am extremely happy to go bowling. We get another month of practice. Hey, it's all positive from here. And I've been through it before.
Meaning you've been through it before. What's that mean?
I've had, you know, at the high school level, at a different sport, I've had to go through 2 rebuilding projects. And when you are on the other sideline against a roster that is superior to yours, and tonight, we had the superior roster. I will agree with that. But a lot of times this year, even in the South Carolina game, I felt like that, you know, they had backups that, you know, were better than our backups, which is really what you look at when you're looking at a roster. But when you have to make every decision on a knife edge like he's had to make for 2 years, I'm just very encouraged about where it's going. He's made some mistakes. But I feel like when he gets a roster in there that can compare to the other ones across the sideline, that we'll be winning a lot more games than losing.
You know, I totally agree. And I look at the league next year, and I think next year is time to step forward and start thinking about competing in the East. And I really think this team can do that. I think this team can compete in the East. Just like I thought tonight, Auburn could beat Alabama, and they just took a scored a touchdown to take the lead here late in the first half. You know, it ain't bad. They just hit a bomb up top. Sammy Coates is 113 yards receiving now on three receptions. And Nick Marshall already has 215 yards passing. But we digress. Back to the Vols here. You know, to me, when I look at Tennessee, there's a lot of reasons for optimism. And the biggest is what they're doing on the recruiting trail. Because it's the only way to get better from here. It is the only way. It is the only path to getting better.
You know, that's completely true. And you look at tonight, we had a couple more injuries, you know,